In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who is our wisdom for life. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Mr. Miyagi, Dumbledore, personal favorite of mine, Monkey Rafiki, and Yoda. All characters from very different universes, if you really think about it, and yet all characters that share this quality of being characters that are full of wisdom. Mr. Miyagi with his wax on and wax off. Yoda with him speaking in basically an anglicized version of Hebrew. Dumbledore with his kind of mischievous prodding with the kids. And Rafiki with his kind of spooky understanding of what life is all about. We have all of these characters that we know, all of these characters in our stories that are so important to who we are and how we live our lives. These characters that help us to understand what life is and how to live it. And these characters are an important part of our stories, especially as Americans. You see, Americans have this thing called a hero myth, and you can even say that it goes beyond us, but we are especially infatuated with being heroes. And what it takes to be a hero is that you need somebody who is wise. Normally, the heroes themselves are not necessarily the wise person themselves. In fact, if you follow this guy named Joseph Campbell has done some extensive research on our hero myths and our understanding of what it means to be a hero. And basically, he says that step number 4 in being a hero is that you have to find somebody who is wise. And that when you find that someone who is wise, that is oftentimes the turning point in your story, or at least one of them. It's a turning point from between usually the hero rejecting the call of heroism and accepting that call of heroism. That we need somebody who is wise in our lives. Somebody who has this sort of ethereal quality of wisdom. This quality that sort of is a thing that's stuck somewhere in between heaven and earth. That it's something where if you know somebody who is wise, if you just think back in even your own life and the people that you consider to be wise, or maybe you don't have anybody in your life that you consider to be wise, and so you have to go to movies or TV. That's fine. But think about who that person might be. Think about what makes them wise. And usually there's kind of a mix there. A mix of this sense of this person being transcendent, kind of beyond their own selves, being able to see the world from a plane that is maybe higher than your own. But if they're truly wise, they also are very grounded and very connected to what it means to be a human being, what it means to live in this world, and that they're somehow stretched between those two planes of existence. And that is what we think of when we think of a wise person. Somebody who has those kind of qualities. And we look for that wisdom in people. We look for that wisdom and we try to find it because it is such an elusive quality. And after all, we're all trying to be heroes. And wouldn't it be great if we would finally find that person that would make that turn in our lives? And so we go about our lives, maybe not actively searching, but maybe our hearts are still searching for someone who is wise. Someone who has this sense of wisdom, this quality of wisdom. And maybe, if we're brave, we think we might actually have some of that to offer someone. But that's usually pretty rare. And that's pretty rare, I think, more often than not in our culture. And what I think maybe might be some of the case for that is that, well, we've kind of shortchanged ourselves in a way. And I'm going to say something here that might sound a little bit, well, maybe offensive. And maybe even a little bit heretical. I think that it's the fault of Christianity. Now, I'm going to put quotation marks around Christianity there. Because I think the kind of Christianity that sucks away the life of wisdom from the world is not the kind of Christianity that is really Christianity, but I think it's this kind of mutant version of Christianity, this mutant version that takes something that is good and turns it into something that is hollow. And I think it does it in two ways specifically. I think that we have a sense in Christianity of really wanting to go to heaven. And so our religion, our lifestyle, our faith becomes this thing that's all about going to heaven. And if I get to heaven, then great! And that's the ultimate end. Because I get to be in heaven. And from what I hear, I haven't seen it actually, but from what I hear, heaven is a pretty nice place. And so I want to go there. And so, like paying my life insurance bill when it comes, I go through all of this Christian stuff where I pray and I go to church and I tithe and I go and I talk to my neighbor and I do all of this stuff because I'm just trying to pay up for that eternal timeshare in the sky. Well, I'd actually say that that's probably not Christianity as God has it intended. Because the problem there is that we're at the center of that. And Jesus is just kind of like, oh, well, he's like the doorway because we couldn't really do it that well. And so we couldn't pay our entire life insurance check. And so he just came in and he kind of filled in the blank. What we couldn't do. And then the world looks at us as Christians. And the world says, is it wise to be a Christian? And they look at us trying to get into this heavenly after-hours club. And they go, I'm not sure that that's wisdom. That doesn't look like Yoda. It doesn't look like Rafiki. It doesn't look like Dumbledore. It doesn't look like Mr. Miyagi. It looks self-serving. It looks ugly. And so, the other thing that we do, we have these two things that I think kind of make us go astray, and one of those is kind of our obsession with our own afterlife, and the other thing that we are obsessed with seems to be sort of this sense of forgiveness. Oh, Christians are always talking about how they're forgiven, aren't they? Yeah. How great it is to be forgiven. And what does that really mean? Well, I think to a lot of people, at least when they look at us from the outside, a lot of that looks like, instead of forgiveness, just kind of like allowance. I think a lot of the world looks at us as Christians, and they look at us and they say, well, you're just kind of sweeping stuff under the rug, aren't you? Okay, so you go to church, you say, okay, I sinned, and then you go out and you do it again. And in a world where there has been a Roman Catholic priest scandal, that really doesn't look good. And it certainly doesn't look wise. If anything, it looks predatory. It looks ugly. It looks disgusting. And so, where is the wisdom in Christianity? Well, if we listen to Solomon in this first little bit of the first chapter of the book of Proverbs, a book that is all about wisdom, he says that what is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. And we go, no wonder we're not wise. We don't like to be afraid. I don't like to be afraid. And I'm not talking about, you know, the kind of afraid where you go to a scary movie and maybe your heart gets elevated a little bit. It's not that kind of afraid. But the kind of afraid that really sticks in your gut. Who wants that? The afraid that maybe I'll die today. The afraid that maybe something is going to happen in my relationship with this person. Maybe I don't have enough money to get through my entire life. That kind of afraid. Who wants that? Not many people. And so when we come across this phrase, the fear of the Lord, we do all of these things to translate the fear out of it. But maybe when Solomon is using this, he actually wants us to keep the fear in there. Maybe there's some wisdom to the fear. To acknowledging that maybe it's not all about you. Maybe it is about a God who is infinitely larger than you, infinitely stronger than you, infinitely smarter than you, infinitely everything more than you, except for being sinful. You are more infinitely sinful than what He would ever be. And so He sends His Son, Jesus Christ. In the strangest and yet wisest plan of all of humanity, to die on a cross, to take the punishment for your sins upon Himself, and to rise again from a tomb. To embrace a sort of weird, otherworldly wisdom that is both connected to the earth of our sins and connected to the transcendence of heaven. There's this quality of wisdom that if we embrace it, we actually begin to see what is so good about heaven. What is so good about having an afterlife? And it's not that we have an afterlife. Instead, it's that we are secure enough in knowing that there is an afterlife that we don't worry about the stuff that is happening in the right now life. That we can risk things that we would never risk if we didn't know that we would one day arise again on a resurrection day. That we will risk things with our bodies that makes those people on X Games look like amateurs. Because we know that this isn't it. And that's the wisdom That's the wisdom of knowing this Christ who has won eternal salvation for you. And the wisdom of forgiveness? The wisdom of forgiveness is not just making you feel better about yourself. If you want that, you can do all manner of other things. The wisdom of forgiveness is saying every morning, every moment, that you fail, that there's something new, that you can get up and you can have at it again, that you can look into these words of Scripture and that you can see how challenging they are and that there is no buzzer that disqualifies you. And so if you fall down on the side of the race, you get back up. Over summer, there's not a whole lot of TV on, and we don't have cable, and because of that, we're forced to watch whatever is actually like on TV, the regular like digital thing. And one of the things that comes on during the summer is this thing that Liz got me into. It's not me, I promise you, but finally I got into this show a little bit myself, and it's this thing called American Ninja Warrior. And if you watch American Ninja Warrior, which is phenomenal, I could not even do like the first little obstacle that they do in this show. You do all of these different obstacles, well, not you, but these people who have given their entire lives to training to do this, they go through all of these obstacles and they do all of these different things, and yet, if they fail even just once, they're kicked out. No more. In fact, there was this guy, and everybody was kind of rooting for him. He was kind of like a hometown hero. And he was doing really well. And unfortunately, he did this thing where he swung off of this rope and hit a cargo net. And what you have to do is you have to crawl down the cargo net and get underneath the cargo net and not fall back into the water. And if you touch the water, you are automatically disqualified. Well, this guy, little tiny, itsy-bitsy sin, let his foot dip into the water. He didn't even know that he had done it until the buzzer went off. No heaven for you. That's what it means in our lives. Even that smallest of sins would disqualify us. Instead, God says, here's this wise plan that I have put together for you. I have put this obstacle course in front of you that you can go and run it, but here's the deal. No buzzers. Sure, you'll find out that you fail here and there, and you'll have to get up and dust yourself off and ask for forgiveness. But then you get to go and try it again. And one day, you will be done with this obstacle course. And you will see what a great thing it was when you're with me in the resurrection. And so as you go through these books of wisdom, as you walk through the book of Job and Psalms and Proverbs, as you look at the book of James and see all of those things that are in front of you, and even Ecclesiastes with Solomon being, or whoever it was, Solomon or Koheleth or whoever, as you see all of those things that are set before you, can get kind of disappointing and frustrating, because you might look at that and go, I can never be like Job. I can never be as smart as all of this stuff in Proverbs. I can never rejoice as sweetly as David does in the Psalms. But know that it's not about the buzzer, but that it's about the race. And you get to try those things without, literally, a fear of failure. And that if you try those things, and if you succeed, the rest of the world might turn around and they might look at you and they might just say that you live life with wisdom. Amen.